Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 7th of April, 2014, here in Japan. And today we are joined on the line once again by James and Joanne Moriarty of LibyanWarTheTruth.com. And for those of you who did not catch our conversation last week talking about their remarkable story of their experiences in Libya during the 2011 invasion of NATO, I really suggest that you go back and listen to that interview in the CorbettReport.com interview archives, because it was a very, very interesting conversation. So we do have James and Joanne back for another conversation to continue talking about what is going on in Libya, what has been going on since the invasion, and what is going on today. So much more information to go through, and we really only started to scratch the surface last week. So James and Joanne Moriarty, thank you again for your time today.
We're so proud to be on your show. Thank you for having us again.
Thank you, James, so much. We appreciate it.
We would really like to thank your audience for all the support and compassion and empathy that they've showed us since last week. We've never had such a wonderful response from any show we've been on, and we just want to thank you so much. You've got a great audience, and they're very well educated and know the truth, and we're very proud to be on your show again.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and we certainly do have a great, educated, informed, engaged, switched-on audience. So let's continue engaging that audience with some of the story of your own experiences and the experiences of those that you've met. And as we were talking about last week, of course, you have met many people along the way throughout your experience there in Libya since you began business there in 2007. And that includes many of the tribal leaders of different tribes there in Libya. For people who don't really understand the tribal nature of Libya, tell us just briefly a little bit about how the country is divided up among the tribes and how that system worked under Gaddafi.
Yes, the Libya is an ancient culture. They have, I think, about 1,800 tribes. I'm going to interrupt you here for a minute, if I could. James, our friend is on. Can I bring him in?
Please do, yes.
Okay, this is Faraj Mufta, and he is a tribal leader with Warfala tribe, and he should be on in a minute.
Warfala is the biggest tribe in Libya, had about 2 million members before NATO blew the country up.
Hello?
We estimate. Okay, hi, Mufta, how are you?
Yes, my friend. Hello, I'm with you.
James, this is Faraj Mufta. He is our Warfala tribal leader. He is with us today to help us understand what's going on in Libya.
Excellent. Faraj Mufta, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and your people.
Well, Faraj, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about your experience in Libya before what happened in 2011, before the revolution. What was life like there under Gaddafi?
Thank you, my friend. There is no revolution in 2011, my friend. There is conspiracy against Libya from American administration and NATO. You know, including Qatar and Turkey, which supported Muslim Brotherhood. This is the truth, and this is the reality.
But before that...
Yes, okay. Just I like to explain the truth. Libya, it was a nice country. It was a safe country. It was good for its people. Libyan people was living... very well living since 1969, when Gaddafi and his group made revolution against kingdom and push out all the military base for foreign countries, American bases, British, UK bases, and Italian as well. 42 years, all the Libyan, they are living like this one family. All the Libyan people living in good situation. Everything was guaranteed by government. Everything available for anyone in Libya. There is some changing happened in Libya in 2001, 2002, 2003 in human rights. In prosperity for the Libyan living, for the foreign relationship with the countries, many countries, especially Western countries and America. everything has been changed by the Gaddafi regime to good direction and to safe directions. And the Libyan countries and the Gaddafi regime, first country announced and reported that Bin Laden and his group, they are dangerous and terrorist groups, and be careful from that group. Nobody believed at that time, and especially America against Gaddafi and against his regime. And Gaddafi reported to the United Nations, to the Council, Security Council, U.S. administration, Western countries, all governments around the whole world reported that Al-Qaeda is big dangerous, faced which we will face together. Nobody heard at that time, nobody believe. That is the normal result from CIA and USA administration. This is the truth, and this is the situation before 2011.
Let me step in just a second and help clarify that.
Yes, yes.
Gaddafi was the first international leader that told the world that Al-Qaeda was a terrorist organization and everyone needed to be afraid of them. And he was the first one to make that statement. And as Mufta said, that he was ignored. Nobody believed him. Yet in the war against terrorists and terrorism, Gaddafi was the leader worldwide. And in the first week of February 2011, get this timeline real good. First week of February 2011, the United States Department of Defense declared Gaddafi was the greatest ally the U.S. had against the war on terror in the world. That was the first week in February. Less than 10 days later, they're calling him the worst guy that ever drew a breath. Now I'm back to you, Mufta. I just wanted to help the audience clarify that a little bit.
Yes, this is the truth. This is the truth, and this is the reality.
Mufta, can you explain a little of the tribal structure, how it works in Libya, how many tribes there are?
Yes, we have more than now, as we planned with the Libyan tribes, we have each one one city has a mixed tribe, a different tribe. Tribes included about, it depends on the situation for the city, certain city. For example, Bani Walid, Bani Walid tribe, this is Warfalla tribe. All the tribes is one tribe, Warfalla. This is the biggest family, biggest tribe in Libya. Second, Warshifana tribe, this tribe, living around the capital, Tripoli, and close with the international airport. Ajilat tribe are living. Ajilat tribes are living close with the border between Tunisia and Libya. And this is the third or fourth tribe for account for the population. Tarhuna tribe, Aguri, Barasi, Hassi, so. The tribes about more than 100 tribes in Libya, which built already. Council for the all tribes in Libya has been elected by the people from the same tribe, which included now something like Council of Libyan Tribes. These tribes all work together to against Al-Qaeda and Muslims Brotherhood and try to rebuild and return the country as before, as before 2011, and now for the tribes, only the problem which faced the Libyan tribes in Libya, Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood and armed groups, which terrorist groups, especially all the groups is foreign people from Afghanistan, from Yemen, from Saudi, from Tunisia, from Egypt, from Algeria, even from Western countries, from Germany, France, Turkey. This is the big problem which faced the Libyan tribes now.
This is why the tribes refer to their country as occupied now.
Yes. The big problem, these groups and bad groups and terrorist groups supported from Qatar and Turkey and the USA administration as well. This is the big problem for us now.
Well, then, can you tell us about your experience in 2011 and what really happened then?
Mm-hmm. 2011, this is like a story, like joking, you know. They started by dirty games from media, Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, Al Hurra, this is American channel, CNN, BBC, you know, and all these channels encouraged by Qatar government and Turkey government and paid money for all these channels to get the opposite of the truth. Against the truth in Libya, and they announced that Gaddafi attacked the people and bombed the people, civilian people, and killed civilian people. Finally, they say this is unjust. We were joking, and we did not tell the truth, but we like the NATO and American intervention to help them, to help that groups to destroy the country and throw out the Gaddafi regime. Since 2011, February 2011, started the conspiracy against Libya and against Gaddafi regime. Destroyed the country by NATO, killed more than 300 civilian people in Libya.
300,000, maybe 500,000.
Yes, more than 300,000. More than 300,000 civilian people by NATO and American administration.
That's a staggering number, and that's a lot more than what the official number for the Libyan conflict is. I mean, that's just a huge amount of people. So let's
James, let me throw in something. NATO came back with their official evaluation, said they had killed 60 innocent civilians. I can promise you, Joanne and I were there from May through the end of August. Joanne and I saw a couple of 100,000 innocent civilians killed in Libya. In hotels, in schools, in apartments. The number, we had one researcher that said he had done a count in Libya and that the count now, including the 128 mass graves that have yet to be opened up, 128 mass graves, and there's a picture of one of those on our site. There could be 100, 150,000 in those graves. But the number is probably really in excess of 500,000, could be as high as 600,000 by the time all the bodies are counted. But you see, the Libyans are such a close-knit unit. They're 5.5 million people in the country. They're all like family. And as long as there's a hope that the person is still alive, then that's what they pray for and that's what they hope for. So, you know, the displaced Libyans, by the time they all get back to Libya, you'll never get the real count until that happens. There may be as many as 2 million Libyans living in exile now.
NATO.
Besides that,
go ahead. Yes,
beside that, my friend James, you have to know that there are more than 2 million Libyan people has been exiled, you know, in Tunisia, Egypt, Algeria, Niger, Chad, Malta, and Western countries. And nobody take care about them, even United Nations. You know, now our people in Egypt, for example, more than 700,000, less than 1 million. They are living in bad situation, terrible situation. Even now the situation in general in Egypt, a little bit safe and secure, but the people here, they are living more than 700,000 Libyan people. They are living in so bad situation.
Very poor.
In Tunisia, yes, very poor. In Tunisia, more than 600,000 or a little bit 700,000 as well in Tunisia. They are living in bad situation as well. Algeria, more than 70,000. Niger, more than 70,000.
And all these people, you see, no international organization has come forward to help these people. And like in Egypt, Egypt's not a rich country. And you add another 700,000, 800,000 people in that culture, there were no jobs. There's no possibility for support. And one thing that used to be the case in Libya, it didn't make any difference what your status was. If you made a bad business decision, you didn't have money for food, you could go to one of the many, many government storehouses and receive 50 kilos of rice, 50 kilos of flour, 20 kilos of of cheese and milk, etc. Now there is no food left in Libya, and there's a shortage of flour. The people are actually hungry now in Libya, first time ever. And there's no support from any outside community because it's a failed state, and no one wants to admit that the terrible shape that Libya has been left in by the NATO invasion, if you would, of that country.
They used weapons of mass destruction on Libya.
There were so few Libyans that wanted to fight that they brought in about 200,000 to 250,000 paid mercenaries to act as though they were rebels to fight in Libya, because the Libyan people did not have any heart for this revolution. It was a false flag operation, as we've seen in Iraq, Syria, now in the Ukraine, etc. And the end result is you end up with a country that's blown up. It's a failed state. It's so hot with depleted uranium explosives that now there's 25% of all the new babies born that are deformed and don't live a day. And Libya never had that before. So it's a terrible tragedy that these people are going through. And Joanne and I are business people. We're not activists. But we became, if you would, crusaders for Libya because no one would speak for them. No one would help them. And in turn, we've been attacked. And, the thing that the world needs to know is that Libya really was a developing country. It was the most prominent country in Africa, the highest pay scale. The people there had no debt. They lived a very good life. The country was growing. It was really developing. And we saw that over the 5 years that we were there. But for that to be blown up and for the Libyan people to live like they are now is something that the world community has to wake up and listen and look at.
Well, Faraj, can you tell us about the situation now? And if the government in Tripoli isn't controlling Libya anymore, who is controlling Libya?
Yes, yes. This is a very important question. Thank you for that, my friend. There is no government in Libya, my friend. You have to know. Don't believe anyone. Even only USA administration and the France government, they say it like this. There is no government in Libya since 2011. Libya now open country, open land for all spies, for all agencies, for all countries. There is no country, so-called Libya now, only on the paper. There is no country. There are many groups in Libya, terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, Ansar al-Sharia, which forbidden now, Muslim Brotherhood, you know, and many prisoners, people. They were a drug seller, you know. And all these groups supported by America and France has been released from the prisoners in 2011, and they supported them to take control for everything, especially in the capital in Tripoli and Misrata and Benghazi as well. Now, from 2 days only, Al Qaeda in Derna, east part of Libya, announced that is Derna Imara, Islamist Imara, and they made military demonstration in front of all the civilian people, and they challenged the war, and they said and they reported frankly that they were able to against anyone, you know. And we are surprised how USA administration supported these people. Now even we have a little bit news, we are not sure, that is Ayman Zawahiri, the leader of Al-Qaeda in Derna, east part of Libya. Tarwat Saleh is famous at Al-Qaeda. Now he is in Derna. You have to know that is Mr. Abdul Wahab Gayed, the leader of Al-Qaeda in Tripoli, who a brother of Abu Yahya al-Libi. This is the third person in Al-Qaeda, a group, whom has been killed from 3 years ago, I think, by drones, American drones. His brother now take control for everything in Tripoli, Abdul Wahab Gayed, and the America supported. And your ambassador, American ambassador in Tripoli, Deborah Jones, supported them, and they make everyday meeting with them. The real control for Tripoli only for Al-Qaeda and Muslims Brotherhood. That's it. This is the correct answer, a correct answer. Don't believe anyone except that.
This is a terrible situation. What do you want to have happen from here, and how can people around the world support you?
Yes, we have to work with the liberated people. We have to work to communicate with the honest people to help us to clean our country from Al Qaeda and terrorist groups and armed groups. This is the real situation which will be happen, and this is the situation we have to. We need to work for this. We have to cooperate and to clean our country from Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups, because this is terrorist groups will come to America and Western countries. Now, Libya, rich country, they try to make control for oil. They try to sell Libyan oil to get money, to support their groups, you know, and to own weapons. They have missiles. They have weapons already. They make control for everything in Libya. In future, they try to work for Algeria and Western countries.
Mufta, yes. isn't it true that the tribal leaders are the only hope for Libya? The tribes of Libya are the only hope for that country?
Yes, only the one way. We have to cooperate together and to work together with the Libyan tribes to work to clean Libya from Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups. This is one way. Except that, nobody will able to do anything in Libya. This is the truth. This is what we have to be do.
James, what the Libyan tribes have asked us to please convey to the government here is if the United States would just stop supporting Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and Ansar al-Sharia, that the tribes would go into Libya and clean all those rats and all those psychopathic murders out of their country. And then they promised to go country to country, joining hands with tribes and the rest of the Muslim world, the Arab world, to clean the terrorists out of those countries as well. They made a formal promise, and that document was delivered to this government shortly after Chris Stevens was killed, and never response to that. And they just ask always, please ask the United States to stop supporting these murders, these terrorists, and let us go back and clean up our country. And of course, the United States continues to support the bad guys. The ambassador just this last week was holding hands with one of the worst terrorists of the Zintan tribe, holding hands with him, and he is a known psychopathic murderer terrorist. She's smiling and having her picture taken with him. And, you know, they're supporting this Ghaib guy. He is in control of the passport office in Libya and has been since October 2011. They bring terrorists in from all over the world. They train them in Libya by the CIA. They're given new Libyan names, new Libyan passports, and immediately receive a permanent green card and multiple entry visa to come to the United States. And they're funded with a $4 million bank account, which money was stolen from the Libyan treasury by the United States and the Federal Reserve in the first week of the fighting. So we've got 300 to 1,000 terrorists coming in the United States every month since October of 2011, well-funded. For what purpose?
Well, the situation there is just atrocious. And just more examples of that coming out this week. Some 150 Egyptian drivers were taken hostage this week in Libya on their way home, according to Egyptian newspapers. You have more unrest in Benghazi. You have a strike paralyzing the port there.
Yes.
And it continues to deteriorate. And I want to get a sense of what the day-to-day life is on the ground in Libya right now. There's a lot of reports of, for example, weapons becoming very, very easy to buy there now. There are many guns for sale on the streets, and the security is basically just people defending themselves. Tell us about what security is like there for the average person.
Every day you will hear someone kidnapped, military officers kidnapped, any civilian people kidnapped, has been kidnapped by militia. Nobody knows how this story was happening in Libya. From few hours, now from 3-4 hours, just in Benghazi, our friend civilian, he is a teacher for university, has been killed by terrorist groups in Benghazi. and they announced that they will kill anyone against them, from police office, from military, from anyone who is not a member of Al-Qaeda or terrorist groups will be killed, you know. This is the truth, and this is the way in Libya now. From few hours, our friend, the close friend of mine, has been killed in Benghazi. From few days, they arrested about 500 drivers for cars from Egyptian people. 500 drivers. They carried goods into Libya, from Egypt to Libya, exported some goodies from Egypt to Libya. Has been arrested more than 500 drivers. For that, every day you will hear like this. This story, now some miserable in Libya. There is no control in Libya. There is no security. There is no establishment. There is no military. And America for a block and forbidden Libyan military. And the Qatar, Turkey, try to destroy any kind of military group who are not with Qatar or Turkey or Muslim Brotherhood. And this is the new story. Now Muslim Brotherhood members, terrorist groups in Egypt, since the revolution 30 June in Egypt by General Sisi and his group against these groups, they ran away to Libya and they start to make trouble against Egypt and against Libya, from inside Libya, from Derna and Benghazi. And Misrata now, this is the main center for training terrorist groups. Derna as well, the main center for Al-Qaeda groups from all the world. You have to know, there is in Derna more than 5,000 members from Al-Qaeda. Yeah. All of them is not Libyan people. They are not Libyan people.
This is a big problem, James, because they're very close to Europe. And I know that there's some European countries that are very concerned about this situation, but it seems they won't stand up against the U.S. The U.S. has CIA training camps there. They have Blackwater there. They have NSA there. They've just taken over the country, and they do whatever they push around whatever they want there.
Indeed. And in fact, just one of the latest stories I see coming across the newswire, Al-Qaeda flags raised in eastern Libya. So I think we know, yes. Yeah, exactly what the situation is like.
From 3 days, they raised a black flag. This is the flag of Al-Qaeda in Derna, east part of Libya. And they announced that they will raise this flag in Benghazi as well in this week. And they are continuous. They are working, and they will not hear anyone. And they against all the world. And they don't hear because American administration with them supported them. American ambassador supported these groups in Libya, armed groups and terrorist groups in Libya.
Well, James and Joanne, I want to turn back to your story that we were talking about last week, because you, of course, had that firsthand experience of these groups and what they were really like, especially in your experience towards the end of your stay there in Libya as you were caught by these groups and put in the hotel. Tell us about that experience and how it came about and really what that was like.
Well, when the tribes completed their new constitution for Libya, that was done, I think, on the 17th of August, 2011. And Sheikh Ali, we were with him when he received that new constitution, and everyone in Libya was going to vote on that. It was going to be an open vote by everybody. And, of course, the administration here in the United States, that didn't fit their agenda, so I think that's when they accelerated their destruction and invasion of Tripoli. And after Tripoli was completely blown up, and we, Joanne and I, were in the Corinthia Hotel, we saw two Apache helicopter gunships come in from the Mediterranean, guns blaring, and they killed every man, woman, and child on the streets. A third one we heard, but we didn't see it. They killed more than 1,100 the first few hours and injured 5,000. And shortly after that, the boatloads of Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood driving these little trucks with anti-aircraft weapons on the back of them were flowing in nonstop into Tripoli right in front of our hotel. And after some days, it was just like the old West. Everybody, they'd fire their guns all the time. They shot at our window in our hotel, missed me by about a quarter of an inch. The government of Malta sent a rescue ship into Tripoli to take all the remaining diplomats, and we had no support, no help from the United States. And it was actually the Russian ambassador that put our name on the list to be allowed to go on that ship, and five other people had attached themselves to us, the German soccer coach, the Bahraini prince, the sister of the brother of Mauritania. President of Mauritania, and a Filipino gal that worked at the hotel, and a ne'er-do-well guy from Texas who was trying to sell arms or anything. Anyhow, that was our group. When we tried to get on the ship, we were given misdirections, I think unintentionally, by the assistant to the president of Malta, and we were going up and down the coast of Libya from Tripoli east about 40 or 50 miles back and forth several times. Every 100 yards, we were stopped by armed gunmen. They would holler "Allah Akbar," shoot their guns in the air, and the driver and the man sitting shotgun in that little van was telling them all we were newspaper people, reporters, and they liked that because the reporters had been supporting them. They let us go through. The second time we got into the port of Tripoli, we were held in there about an hour, and then a big tall guy came in with about 30 truckloads of half a dozen armed men on each truck. They pointed their guns at us, their AK-47s, and this guy said our game was up. And they took us to their torture center, which was the Mahari Hotel there.
Radisson.
It was a Radisson Hotel. No lights, no electricity. We were held there for a long time, and they were torturing any wounded soldier. They were taking them up in the mezzanine area, and we were hearing sounds that no one should ever have to hear. And finally, long, long time later, this big, tall, fat, bald-headed, bearded imam came in, looked down his nose at all of us, and said in Arabic that we were to be killed and chopped up and burned when we were taken to the rescue ship. And then shortly thereafter, they released our passports to us after they had interviewed each one of us by a British film crew individually, put the camera in our face and asked us if we'd been treated well, was there anything wrong with us, had we been tortured, and of course, we answered those questions. Not knowing that was going to be their video evidence that Gaddafi had been the one to kill us, not themselves. And when we went to get in the van, the driver had changed. And the head of IT for the other hotel, who turned out to be a rebel, we didn't know it at the time, he said that we weren't going to the rescue ship. He was going to take us back to the hotel. And Joanne said, why? And he said, because they've set up a kill zone two blocks to the west, and when you try to go to the rescue ship, you'll be killed. She said, you better tell my husband that, because I was adamant about leaving. And so we did. He helped us. And the reason he said he did is because he had known us for months. He knew we were good people, and we were just trying to help the Libyans. That was the first miracle that got us out of the death center. Then next, we had another miracle that put us on a ship going to Benghazi. And the third miracle was we got out of Benghazi on an airplane. There were three separate Al-Qaeda types, if you would, that helped us. And if you look wrong at any Al-Qaeda guy, they'll kill you. And so for these men to have helped us, it was amazing. It was absolutely God's intervention. No help whatsoever from the U.S. And when we finally got back to the United States, we started being attacked by the government here. Not knowing that, for a full 2 years, we kept trying to tell the government how wrong-footed they were in what they were doing in Libya. We were so naive that we believed that if we could find the right people in the U.S. government, that we could let them know what was happening, show them the proof we had, and they'd do something about it. Little did we know that it was on their agenda to overthrow Libya. It didn't make any difference how many people they killed, if they lit the country up with depleted uranium, if they destroyed it. You know, that was their goal. And so here we are today. We're out by ourselves. We've been isolated from our family and friends. We can't do any business. We've been soft killed by the intelligence agencies here. We've been blacklisted. All that was verified 100% by Congressman Pete Sessions, who's not any friend of ours anyhow, but he heard our story.
Many of our stories have been written by Dr. Jerome Corsi of WND. He started working with us right after the Chris Stevens event. And he has literally put out so many truths about Libya. We're very happy to be working with him because he's the only one who stepped up to work with us. We are, in our minds, you know, when you see something horrible like we watched happen to Libya, we believe that if you turn away and walk away from it, you're as bad as the person committing the act. So our own honor requires us to tell the truth about what happened to Libya and to stand with the Libyan tribes and the Libyan people.
Well, what a harrowing story, and what an amazing experience to live through. And it is a miracle that you are here today to talk about this. So I'm sure the audience are so glad that you are. But one part of that story I'd like some clarification on: that British film crew that was interviewing you, who was that, and who were they collaborating with?
They were collaborating with Al Qaeda. They were there. They were embedded with Al Qaeda and reporting what they were told to report all the time. We have proof that Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya TV was embedded with Al Qaeda from day one of the revolution. We have proof of that. So this was always a false flag operation. It was always a coup d'etat.
We also have proof that the Mossad was working with the rebels long before the actual false flag started in Afghanistan. The tribes got the document that shows where the Mossad agreed with the rebels how they would be able to build a military base in the Green Mountain area for training and supplying with weapons the rebels.
Now, you know, Joanne and I are business people. We're not activists. We were forced into the position because we saw with our own eyes these atrocities and these war crimes being committed. And you can't see this happen and not do something about it. And yes, we had huge amounts of business booked in Libya. We were moving our entire operations, production and marketing, into Libya because the people were great folks to work with. But in the second event, when we went back there to head an NGO fact-finding commission, we saw firsthand these atrocities. And we had a little Sony. It was a real nice metal case Sony digital camera. We videoed probably 200 gigabytes of first-hand information. People that were killed, their heads chopped off, they were murdered in terrible manners. If we didn't videotape that ourselves, we interviewed their families at the request of their families because they didn't trust any journalists. They wanted those two Americans who would tell the truth.
And our friend Mufta, he knows this. He knew us while we were there in the summer, and he saw us. We went to many, many tribal meetings. And we spoke out on the TV. We said the Libyan people have the right to choose their own government. It's not up to NATO or the UN or the United States.
And that's why we were put on the Al-Qaeda kill list. That tall man I told you that said that our game was up, he had our names on a list, on a kill list.
Yes, my friend James. In addition, our friend Jim and Joanne, they were as witness. And we authorized them from the Libyan tribes to work and to support us and to show the truth and to tell the truth to the American people. We know the American people has been ignored by U.S. administration. We have to compare between American people and American administration. We like American people. We love American people. We don't have any problem with American people. Our problem with American administration, with Obama and Hillary Clinton and John McCain. There are our problems. NATO, since 2011, came to Libya, destroyed Libya, supported Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups. This is just like dirty game between Sarkozy from France, France president, and Obama. You have to be clarified all the events as before 2011, we reported that, and our friends, they were witness. We reported since the started of conspiracy against Libya, that has Al Qaeda on the ground, Muslim Brotherhood on the ground, terrorist groups on the ground, Libyan regime, and Gaddafi regime, and Libyan people against Al Qaeda and terrorist groups. Nobody. And Obama and you and John McCain They said, no. Gaddafi tried to say it, Al-Qaeda to let the people support, you know, to let the people support Gaddafi.
Yes.
This is, it was not a truth. They lie to you and they lie to the media and they lie to your people.
Yes.
The truth, Al-Qaeda on the ground since 2011. Al-Qaeda bombed and attacked civilian people and the Libyan cities with NATO and the American. Al-Qaeda work like spies on the ground with the NATO and the American administration. They give him the events, they give him the places by satellite, by Turaya telephone, by cellular phone, by Skype, you know, they used all the resources, technologies to destroy our country, destroyed everything in our capital in Tripoli. It was so nice and beautiful city, Tripoli. If
you know,
saw Tripoli before that, you'll be surprised.
Yes.
You know, and you have to know something. Muslim Brotherhood organization, Muslim Brotherhood organization has been built by MI6 in 1928, exactly. Now 1928, Muslim Brotherhood has been built by MI6.
Out of England.
Yes, UK government.
Yes.
But, you know, the thing that we saw that was so shocking is the first week of this phony revolution, Al-Qaeda came out and said they were going to cleanse the country of Libya of the blacks. And they said that all the blacks in Libya were mercenaries of Gaddafi. That was just not true. Libya was 30-35% black. And Libya was a colorblind country. You saw in every family blacks and beige and brown and everything in between. And the blacks that lived in Libya had been there since the old slave trading days, and they were the most productive agriculturalists in Libya. There were fully 30-35% of the Libyans were blacks, and they had first-class passports. Libya had three levels of passports, and those with pure citizenship had first. The blacks there were first-class Libyan citizens and very, very prolific farmers. Profitable. They were producing poultry and eggs and milk and things like that. They attacked the blacks, and I think that probably fully half of all the Libyans that were killed were blacks. And they announced, this is Al-Qaeda, backed by the U.S. government, announced that they were going to cleanse Libya of all the blacks. Why did they do this? You know, these things are so abhorrent to us in the United States, we could never understand this.
This is who John McCain went over and stood with in Benghazi in 2011, put his arms around them and said, these guys are my heroes. And he still to this day is in touch with Abdel Hakim Belhaj. He's very close with him. He visits him in Tripoli. Belhaj, as you know, was in Guantanamo, an Al-Qaeda leader, a well-known Al-Qaeda leader. And here is John McCain supporting him.
Belhaj gave McCain an award about 6 months ago. McCain was in Syria. He was in Syria with al-Nusra. Again, Al-Qaeda in Syria, putting his arm around him. These are real heroes. And then the ambassador for the United States is over there holding hands with one of the worst terrorists in Libya. You know, I mean, why?
This has to stop. The people have to understand the United States, that there is so much corruption now and people are dying every day. Lives are being destroyed.
And then, of course, McCain also showing up in Kiev and putting his arms around the neo-Nazi Svobodas.
Same game. Ukraine, Libya,
Syria,
Egypt before, Syria, Tunisia. You have to know, Annahda Barat in Tunisia, this is Muslim Brotherhood, Ansar al-Sharia. Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, these are Ansar al-Sharia. In Syria, al-Nusra and Daesh, Barat, this is Ansar al-Sharia and Al-Qaeda, Barat from Al-Qaeda. The Barat who make control in Turkey, Erdogan, is Muslim Brotherhood. This is the same game, exactly, for all these countries.
Well, you've brought up the problem of getting reliable information in English on what's happening in Libya. I mean, we know that all of the mainstream corporate news networks are lying about what's going on there. We know that that Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera are also spreading disinformation. Where can people go for real information about what's happening in Libya in English?
Well, I can recommend livingwarofthetruth.com because we post on it every day. There are other sites. There's Lib Against Superpower Media. There's a lot of different alternate sites. But you'll find that anybody trying to tell the truth about what the One World Order folks are doing are shot down, blocked, destroyed. And we were prominent people, and we have been destroyed because we're trying to tell the truth. But, you know, the thing, you have to look for it. You have to dig for it because the guy, all these bad guys own the media except for shows like yours, you know. And whatever you hear on ABC, NBC, et cetera, the opposite. Hear one thing, turn it around because the truth will be exactly the opposite of what you're being told. And the people of the United States have got to start bringing the reporters accountable for the lies they tell, because when they tell a lie, people die. The politicians have to be brought to the table and they have to be made accountable for their actions. And, you know, the Congress and Senate in the United States do not follow the will of the people. They're about a 7% approval rating. Yet all these atrocities are done in the name of the U.S. people. And I can tell you, the U.S. people are not, would never support these kinds of activities.
Sorry, my friend James. We try to pass it all the evidences that Al-Qaeda on the ground in Libya, especially in Sbar. We try to bust all the details about Al-Qaeda and terrorist groups in Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, Syria as well, to America administration. But we did not find anyone to hear from us, to hear from our side, to hear from Libyan tribes. This is the big problem for us. Even Western countries, we have good connection with Germany, with Italy, France, Ukraine, Russia, and the rest of countries in the world. All of them, they were surprised. That is, they said America administration supported the groups who are make control in Libya now. This is the big problem which faced us now. We try to return back our country, our land, to our people. That's it. We don't need anything. Leave the forget that is American administration talk about freedom and changing democracy. There is no democracy in Libya. There is no any changing. They try to bought and carry Al-Qaeda from all the world and bought them in Libya. This is the truth and this is the reality. Exactly.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to end the conversation here. But before we do, Faraj Mufta, you are now talking to people in the U.S. and all around the world who are listening to this conversation. If you had a message for the people around the globe about what's happening in Libya, what would you like to say to them?
Thank you for that, to give me a chance to explain our situation. We call for the help and support from the world, from civilian organization, from the good country, from honest people, from honest organization, even from the America, good people in America, to support us, to cooperate with us, to help us to clean our country from Al-Qaeda and Muslims Brotherhood. This is what we need exactly, my friend.
And James and Joanne, let's talk just briefly about yourself. Of course, you're at LibyanWarTheTruth.com, and I hope people are going there for information on a regular basis, as you say. But also, I understand you have some speaking events coming up in Texas. Perhaps you can tell us about that.
Yes, we're going to be speaking for the John Birch Society. We're featured speakers in Midland on the 10th, Texarkana on the 16th.
And Houston on the 17th.
Yes. And anybody that's interested, they're normally luncheon events, and there's food if you'd like it. You don't have to do that. But we'll be giving seminars for those folks, and they're really interested in seeing the United States get out of NATO and the UN. So they've got a good cause they're working on.
And please go to our website, and if you can, purchase our DVD. It helps us a great deal to continue to work because we have no other source of income other than the sale of our DVD.
But we also ask that everybody that is listening to your program, please pray for the Libyan people. Pray for Joanne and myself. We have been saved so many times by God's intervention. As the intelligence agencies who weren't at home said that Joanne and I need to be listed in the Guinness records because nobody gets out of Al-Qaeda's murder centers alive. So please keep us in your prayers. Keep the Libyans in your prayers.
And if anybody has any groups that would like to support the Libyans, if they contact us through our website, we'll pass them directly to the tribes of Libya.
Excellent. All right. Well, again, I hope people will visit LibyanWarTheTruth.com for more about your story and to purchase your DVD. And we'll have to continue this conversation, but I think we'll have to leave it there for now. Faraj Mufta, thank you so much for joining us from Libya.
Thanks so much.
Excellent. And James and Joanne, thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, James. We really appreciate you.